The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. This Week in Comics is titled Boom Studios Alienated, because spoiler alert, we both liked it. So you have that coming up, but we also have, we've got news, we've got merchandise, we've got listener comments, we got a bunch of books that we liked. We had a really good time this week, but that's no surprise. As sick as I've been, this is all I look forward to. I have a great time every week. Let's just head into the store. Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Have you been shopping? Have you been onto our store?
Oh, yeah, I was just there, actually.
Were you?
Yeah, just.
Did you buy anything?
No, not yet.
Oh, please.
I guess I need to buy a cup, a glass, because that's the only way I'm going to get one.
That's the one thing they don't have.
I know, I didn't see that.
And, I apologize ahead of time, everybody. I am sick as a dog. It's coming up through the lungs.
Oh, geez.
I've been sick all week, so I'll do my best to stay away from the microphone when.
Is it the coronavirus or?
No, I live too far out.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the woods. You know where I live. No, that's corona's true. Getting out here.
Yeah.
Unless it has a lime in the stuck on the top of it.
Can't get through the trees.
No. But yeah, we have merch and.
Yeah.
It took me a while to get that done. but yeah, we're at TeePublic. Go to teepublic.com. Just search the Bright Side Chat. As I was just telling you, in our pre-show conversation, it took 2 days for that search to work. And I kept searching. I'm like, you can't get more specific than the Bright Side Chat. And it wouldn't come up, but
right.
Now it's coming up. It's working fine. There's all sorts of great stuff there. And you can help support an artist or two, John and I.
That's right.
So help support the podcast. It's pretty cool.
Help keep us going.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. I got some ideas from some other stuff to go up there. Like I said before, I've already bought some stuff. So I've already made money off of myself.
That's right. I was gonna say, I don't know how that helps our finance our show. If you're spending money to make
my
money.
Wife's shaking her head. She goes, "You just don't get how this works, do you?"
Right.
I'm like, look at these checks rolling in.
So you actually made what you spent minus 35%.
Actually, to be honest with you, it's like, so all of our stuff that I had made in the past,
yeah.
You know, it's cheaper when you make it in bulk, right?
Yeah.
Well, I have to outlay hundreds of dollars to make that stuff because there's a minimum you have to make, right?
Right.
Well, everything I just bought was actually cheaper when you factor in the sale
right.
and then the money I get back per item. It was like a dollar cheaper. Some of them were like maybe 50 cents cheaper
right.
than what I would have paid if I went out and spent hundreds of dollars. And I didn't. I just bought what I needed. So it actually worked out pretty cool for
yeah.
me too.
Cool.
And I got my pillow. I wanted a pillow.
Oh, nice.
So, but yeah.
Going in the theater room, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I told the pillows come in like four sizes, and there's one that's like 28 by 28 inches or something.
Oh, yeah.
My wife goes, we could get one of these. She goes, what the hell are we going to do with a 28 inch Bright Side pillow? I go,
get a big body pillow and throw it on your
like,
bed.
I don't know. Get a couple of them for the bedroom, you know, decorations.
She says, you really don't know how this works. I thought you didn't know before.
Yeah, so. But yeah, so. Go to TeePublic. A lot of great artists there. A lot of other podcasts are there as well. I know the Triforce is there. So yeah, check out TeePublic. Search the Bright Side Chat and help support an artist.
All right.
Or two.
Or two.
All right, let's get on to that was business. And
yeah.
We'll do that again next week.
Now, pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
now the pleasure portion of our show.
Yeah. Yeah. Now to the work.
Right.
It's tough. What do you got this week? I have a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I only have two things, actually. First thing is the newest rumor is that the next, well, not the next, but I guess 2 years from now, the big crossover event for the Arrowverse may be Blackest Night, which is the Green Lantern story.
And they're, that one off my list.
They're thinking that it's going to spin out of the Lois and Clark show.
Yeah.
So they were saying not for like next year's crossover, but possibly the year after.
Yep.
That would be really cool. Definitely a way to bring Diggle back into, you know, the Green Lantern role. And obviously more lanterns. And again, everything's loosely adapted, so it won't be exactly the way it was from the comics. But that'd
be pretty
cool.
That's the idea, though.
Yeah.
That's the idea. As we were saying earlier about another entity that we were talking about, is that if you make it exact, there's no point in watching it.
Right.
So, yeah. No, I heard that one too, and I'm excited for that. That'll be good.
Yeah, me too. And again, because we had talked before about how they were possibly going to make these crossovers a little bit less ambitious than the Crisis one, but Blackest Night is pretty ambitious, so
yeah,
that might not be the case. Maybe next year's may not be so big, but
I don't know if it's as ambitious as a Crisis.
Well,
Crisis
probably not, because you
encompassed
won't have
everything.
Right, and you won't have as many you won't have the cameos and things like that.
Right.
It's like story-wise and effects-wise, it's still pretty, it's still got a lot going for it. So it'll probably fall somewhere between, not Crisis, but what was last year's?
That was Crisis as well. It wasn't.
Oh,
Crisis,
it was Crisis something. But anyways, it'll probably be on that scope. Which was still pretty big. So that'd be pretty cool.
Yep.
And then actually, the only other thing I had, and this isn't even really news, it just piggybacks off of stuff we say a lot, because we're always talking about how, there's no lack of content with all the streaming services and things out there. So Variety published an article this week talking about the number of new TV series that were launched globally in 2019. Did you see this article?
No.
Okay, so do you want to hazard a guess on how many individual new TV series launched just last year globally?
I'm going to say more than five.
More than five, yeah.
How many TV series globally?
Globally, in 1 year.
Oh, it's got to be. I don't know. I'm gonna just put out a nice even 1,000.
Okay, 10,600.
Jeez.
New series just
now
last
launched,
year.
Right?
Launched, right?
Launched, not like we're in like production or thought of.
No, just these launched.
These actually got. Wow.
These aired, globally. So, not everything was available in the U.S., but still, that's a lot of shows.
That's
in
a
one
lot.
Year. So, some of them may have gone one episode. Like, there's no further, it doesn't really expound further on how many of these things are continuing to go. But still, that blew my mind. Like, I think that's a staggering number of shows every year that are hitting. Like, you couldn't have enough time. In your lifetime, you couldn't even watch all the shows that came out just last year if you had the rest of your life to do it.
Well, that's the thing, is you have so many countries with so many different, interests that it's.
But like I said, it just blew me away. And it's like, we comment on that so often that I had to bring that
that's
up.
That's a good one. News. That's a 10,600?
10,600.
10,600. Jeez. Yeah. And we weren't one of them.
We were not, no.
You'd think with that many, we would have been in a show.
10,601, really.
Right.
So. It's like,
could it really hurt?
Right.
I mean, come on.
I mean, you're right. Thinking about it, with that many shows globally, like, why don't we have a show? Like, somebody somewhere should have picked us up.
Right.
You know?
Not that we're not. We're very thankful that Nerdy Legion picked us up.
Very thankful, but we got to be better than at least one of those shows that launched. Out of 10,600, we got to be like somewhere at 10,599, So,
way to shoot for the moon, John.
Yeah. Should have made the cut somewhere like in Zimbabwe or something, So,
yeah.
Not to insult anybody in Zimbabwe, but.
I think you just did.
Yeah.
So. You just insulted all of Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Anyway, oh, we're in trouble now.
I know. We lost a listener.
Yeah. I check our stats, but I think we're not – I don't think we're big in Zimbabwe, to be honest with you. So, oh, man. This is going to be a tough night with this if I have to keep laughing. Oh, it hurts.
I'll try to stifle my natural humor.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's see. What do I got here? Do I want to go with that one right up? Well, all right. Let's get to this one. So, Jeremy Armstrong at Bo89Sox tweeted our comment. Book was insane, talking about Darth Vader, number one. And yes, it was.
It was.
that is not the only – I've had a few conversations about that book this week. And when I was hanging out at a friendly neighborhood, I was talking with Alexander, and we had a couple of good revelations. And what do you think of this idea? The end of Vader number one.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
Is that the same person? Could that be the same person? What do you think of that? You know what I'm talking about? Do you want to spoil it for people that are out there that
now
maybe
I know,
haven't?
Okay, now I know what you're talking about. It took me a second to figure out what you were talking about.
It dawned on me talking to Alexander in the store the other day on Saturday, and I was like, oh my God. And we both were like, oh, wow.
I mean, I don't think we're worried about spoilers at this point. So,
okay.
I guess, so you're asking me, is the lady that asked Rey her name Padme?
Padme.
Yeah. Could be.
Could be.
The only question, because why would she be there? That's my only thought, was like, why would she just be hanging out at the Skywalker farmstead on Tatooine?
I don't know. Why does anything happen?
Well, I
she happened to conveniently be there. But you see what I'm saying? Because we all, I mean, everybody knows, and you and I at the end of the movie, we kind of asked, I wonder who that is.
Right.
I've searched the internet to see who that could possibly be. Nobody has.
I think it's nosy neighbor, but I mean.
Right. But since when in Star Wars has something meant nothing?
Right.
You know, so, and Alexander said the same thing. He's like, yeah, you're right. Nothing, you know, usually that it'll seem innocuous, but then all of a sudden years later you'll be like, that was such and such. What if they're bringing that to light with the comic? Wouldn't that be crazy?
It'd be crazy. I guess it just, well, I mean, how much forethought went into writing that movie? Like,
I don't know,
you know, were
that's
they conversating
the thing
with the guy writing the comic book, you know? I don't know. I mean, like,
well, didn't they say, like, even Feige has something to do with the comics now and Marvel, so maybe they're doing the same thing in the Star Wars universe, too?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, if they're, you got to figure that, I mean, it's all one company. What works one place is probably going to be working in another.
Right.
What seems to be successful, that is. So, doesn't that stand to reason?
I mean, it's definitely possible. I mean, yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, you know, obviously my mind jumps to 100 more questions, like why and, you know, what's the point of this and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, anything's possible. I just don't know that we'll ever know for sure. Like,
no, I know. Well, if it really is, I got to imagine we'll know eventually, because they'll reveal it somehow.
Right. I guess
if that's what their plan is.
On how things play out through the rest of this run of the comic book.
Right.
Probably by the end of that, we would have an idea that, you know, because if that comic book run ends with her anywhere near Tatooine, then, you know, you could put two and two together and say that. But I hadn't thought of that, so it's an interesting thought experiment anyways.
I mean, it's the first, to me, that's the first opportunity at an answer for who that woman was,
right?
You know, as at a guess,
right?
Let's see. Met JR, the Hooded Collector. Did you see that on Twitter?
Yep.
I finally unhooded the Hooded Collector.
There you go.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. No. Sorry, JR. No, you weren't Oliver Queen.
He's not not doing the salmon ladder anytime soon.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh. I mean, I can't do it either, so don't feel bad.
No. But We had a great time. That was a great time at Friendly Neighborhood with that, the whole toy collection people and talking about all the different toys. And I actually got into some talking about doing some art for JR and stuff. So that looks like it's going to be fun. But we actually elaborated on the question that he asked us last week. He tweeted at us, at Brightside Chat regarding your conversation on Disney Plus Cadence. Are we seeing the end of cinema? And I answered, that's an interesting thought and not the first time in history we've been led to believe that. My quick answer is no. And we will definitely elaborate more on this in the next week's podcast. Right. The reason I wanted to elaborate on it is I thought it was a great question because that comes up a lot.
Right.
Like, are we seeing, like, I mean, people going to the theater, people, you know, is that going to eventually die? Throughout history, people have thought, and
people, birds of prey people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to that on Monday.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I don't think so because I think there's a business there and they're constantly working to create that environment. And people like that environment. It may not be as big. It's going to have its highs and lows, but I do think there will always be a place for that.
I don't think we'll ever see the complete death of cinema, but right. I do think with things like Disney Plus and Netflix and the ease and the commonality now of people being able to recreate the theater experience at home is going to play a part in decreasing that. Because people will stay home and, you know, get that experience rather than plop down their $25 and go into the theater and doing whatever.
Right.
But it'll never die. Like, I just can't see a world where the theater just stops. But
right.
We may at some point get to the day where an Endgame isn't doing $3 billion in the theater anymore because so many more people will just view it at home. Because they have movie theaters set up in their living room or their basement or what have you, you know, because that stuff becomes easier and more affordable to do. You know, I think it'll definitely take a bite out of it, but I don't think it'll ever go away.
I don't think it'll ever go away because I think that movie theater and going to the movies it's like a nostalgic thing because think back to when we were kids. It's like, that's what you did with your girlfriend or whatever.
Right.
You'd take them on a date. It's that experience.
Right.
And think of everything. Think of this podcast. The reason you and I do what we do and are into all of these things is because of that experience of us going to the movies and seeing Star Wars. For instance.
Right. But,
and
go ahead.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yes, you, as somebody that has a literal theater in my house, I still like to go to the theater. My theater in my house is to recreate that time and that going to the theater. But there is still something to be said for getting in the car and going with the wife on a date to the theater, getting some dinner. There's something to that. And yes, there are, we do it less. Because
well, that's
we, have,
what I was gonna
we
say,
have it at home,
at 50
but I don't think it'll
old,
go away.
At 50 years old, like personally, I don't need that experience all the time anymore. You know,
no.
And there's very few things that I really am that anxious to have to go see in the theater before they come to home video. You know,
right.
Something like a Rise of Skywalker or an Endgame or something like that. But to be perfectly honest with you, and again, not to say anything about this movie because we'll talk about it in a couple of days. But if it wasn't for this podcast, like I was in no rush to go see Birds of Prey.
Same here.
I could have waited 4 months and watched it at home and still had the same experience. So I wouldn't.
Yeah.
It wouldn't lessen anything for me. So I go to these things, and you're right. Like it's nice to go have dinner and go see a movie with my wife, but. You know, we don't need to do it all the time. Like when you're in high school, that is your date, right? Like you go to the movie.
Yeah.
You can't hang out. You know, you don't live
right.
together.
That's
you
your
know.
First chance at freedom. That's exactly. You going out of the house with somebody else
right.
and going on a date. And then when you get older, you do want to recreate that.
You do,
I mean,
but I don't need to do it
get
every
out of the house.
But I don't need to do it every week or for right. every movie that comes out. Like, there's so many movies that I could just wait to see. Like, I don't have to go to the theater and see them. Like last year, for instance, Skywalker and Endgame are really the only two movies that I had to go see right away. Yeah. Everything else, I could have waited 4 months and watched them at home. And I think, like I said, more and more people will do that because as it becomes more when it starts to cross the $50 threshold for two people to go out to the movies and get some popcorn, then it's easier to wait and watch it at home.
Right.
You know, off of Netflix or what have you.
Yep.
Because you're already paying for Netflix anyways. And
yeah, you know, exactly.
So as it becomes more and more, like when we start to get to the 60, like at what point is it too much for you? Like when it costs you $70 to go to the movies for two people, like, is that too much? Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think there's going to come a point where it's going to flip flop and more people will stay home, but there's still going to be those guys that have to go, you know, and get the theater experience. So, I mean, a little really long winded way to answer that, but
hey, that's what we're all about.
Yeah. And again, that, just my thoughts on it.
So, yeah. No, that's why I thought it was a great question. Yeah. Cause I thought like, yeah, we could talk about that one for a bit.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Especially with both of our backgrounds in one home theater and
right.
and all of, you know, I mean, and as much as, you know, we keep going back to Scorsese, but those are the movies that they are rides. They are events that people want to see in right. the theater. And, you know, whereas, I mean, the movie he put out after that was on Netflix.
Right.
Because you don't have to go to the theater to see those movies. Those are cinema films or whatever you want right. to call them, or whatever he would call them.
As the quality of those things continues to get better, you know, when you're getting better content on Netflix than you're getting at the movie theater, then again, right. you're just going to stay home. You're just right. going to stay home and watch it. So,
yeah. So, but I don't think, again, I mean, we said right. it, I don't think it'll yep. go away. So, all right. So hopefully that answers that. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, I saw that. Did you see that the Clone Wars starting next Friday, the 21st, dropping one a week?
I didn't see that, but I guess that answers the question. I mean, I like that and I dislike it at the same time because, you know, I like that it will spread it out over 12 weeks, basically. But I dislike the fact that I'm going to get 20 minutes and then I'm done for the week, you know? It's like right. Harley Quinn on DC Universe. You always want more than that 20 minutes. And then,
yeah.
But I guess it's no different than watching The Big Bang Theory. I mean, I guess that's all you get right. on anything you watch. So, yeah.
Well, and again, there's another conversation we had at Friendly Neighborhood is that when you put it out episodic like this, one at a time, it creates that opportunity for conversation.
Right.
And whereas, like, you and I right now, it's, you know, we're in the middle of, you've blasted through a couple of shows. I'm still catching up. And you're like, well, you need to catch up because I'm going to forget about them. But it's like, and we had a good laugh because it's like, these content providers aren't doing a bad job. You're just blasting through it too fast.
Well, right. But to your point, yeah, if they dropped all of Clone Wars at once, I'd be done in like 3 hours.
Right.
Because
right?
it's just 12 episodes at, 4 hours, I guess, right? So, yeah.
Right.
I'd be done in 4 hours and then that'd be it and I'd be disappointed. So, you know, there's pluses and minuses either way.
Yeah. And it creates opportunity to talk about it. It gives right. you a week to talk to people about it. And then, whereas when they drop it all at once, you're like, did you see it all? And there's no conversation.
Right.
Because
yes.
if no. you haven't seen it,
right.
then you're like, all right, let me know when you've seen it all.
Right.
Oh, what are you up to now? And then if I have a conversation, I'm halfway through, you're done. And you're like, did you get to the part that such and such? No, but thanks for ruining that.
Right.
You know? So I mean, yeah, there is pluses and minuses but I like this, especially for a podcast, because we could talk about it as it goes along.
Right.
Let's see. Avengers Endgame is the first film in the history of the Oscars to hold the title of the highest grossing film of all time and win 0 awards.
Cool. Didn't know that.
Didn't win any Oscars.
Wow.
And
I don't know. Was it even up for any? I don't know if it was even nominated for anything.
Might have been for special effects and stuff, but maybe. It didn't get them.
I'd be surprised to know what beat it then.
I don't know. I didn't watch the Oscars. So
I didn't either. I don't.
I saw that certain ones won that I wanted, but obviously Joker.
Yeah.
I was excited about that to see Joker, to see Joaquin Phoenix win. And they got best score. That was really cool because that I just rewatched that this week. That'll be out on Friday.
Cool.
And let's see. I'm saving this one for last. Marcus at Mr. _ Bestevis. He's nice. Did you see his comment on our podcast?
Yeah, I don't really know what it was referring to.
You don't know why he said nice? No. Nice.
Still don't know.
The issue number.
Oh, I was going to say, you could change the inflection a couple different ways, and I still don't know what you're talking about. Now I get it. So,
He's the issue number. He's, I knew that was coming. Let's see. What else do we have here? That's for later. All right, I'll get to this one. TJ. He's it. Who is this guy? I expected this kind of negativity from John, but you, sir, I don't even know who you are anymore. This should be a Dark Side Chat segment led by DJ each podcast.
Yeah.
We tried that. Didn't work. No. Yeah. John,
if you take
great
over that job, I don't need to be here because I won't have a role in this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's, and then he replied to our tweet today about, he's like, I'm team John all the way. DJ, I don't think we can be line mates anymore. I didn't have any expectations on this either when it first came out and delayed seeing it. Marvel proved me wrong. 1 and 2 are so crucial to the whole saga. Definitely in his top 5. And then, Dr. Joe replied with, it's Team Nudie, by the way.
Yeah. Get it right.
Yeah. So there's another vote for you. Everybody seems to always follow you.
Hey, it's like, you know.
It's like, oh, well.
When you're right, you're right. What can I say?
And we'll save these couple for the Monday podcast regarding Birds of Prey. Okay. So that's all I have for this week. I can't think of any other news. Can you?
No, I can't. Like I said, I didn't save many stories this week, and I didn't really see much else. So.
Yeah. No, I saved.
I mean, everything I saw the last couple of days was all about Birds of Prey, and, you know, I'm sure, like I said, we'll talk about that for Monday.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on Monday's podcast.
Or Mookie Betts. So, but this isn't the right podcast for that.
Yeah, there you go. So did you finish Clone Wars? I just finished Clone Wars.
Did you finish it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty
good ending.
I thought it was, well, yes, but as a whole, there are some weak parts to those seasons.
Well, all of season 6 was actually pretty weak, I thought.
Till the ending.
Till the ending.
And it really dipped really low with that Jar Jar story with Mace.
Well,
that
the thing is,
horrible.
Yeah, coming off of the end of season 5, which was such a rush with the, you know, all the Darth Maul stuff and then ending with the Ahsoka stuff. I mean, season 5 was so good. And then you get into season 6 and you have like 3 episodes about the droids and 3 episodes about the younglings. And
yeah,
it just felt like, man, what a letdown this season is. And then the last 3 episodes, the Yoda episodes, were actually, it ended fairly strong, but overall I thought season 6 was fairly lackluster compared to, like, the way 4, because the first 3 were okay, but they were slow, but then season 4 and season 5, that's why I went through them so fast, because they were just so good, and I just couldn't wait to get to the next episode, and then season 6, I just kind of went through it just to be done with it, because it was a little bit of a letdown.
To
turn this all into the Clone Wars, but
no, well, that's starting next Friday.
But I really wanted to see some more of the Ahsoka story through season 6, and there was literally nothing.
They cut her right off.
Yeah, just like she didn't exist anymore. Yeah. You know, he opens season six with like a new Padawan. Not really a new Padawan, but he's hanging out with another Jedi. And yeah. It's like, okay.
Yeah, so. I thought like going through it, binging it, it was, because I was doing 3 to 4 episodes at a time. I thought that the pacing on it was, especially like you said, season six, the way it went up and down, there were some good stories, bad stories, that really low story with Jar Jar, like I said.
Yeah.
But I thought it would have played, it probably played better coming out weekly.
Maybe.
Because you would be looking forward to it more. Whereas when you're binging it, you're just like, oh my God, I got to get through this. This is horrible.
Yeah.
And it wasn't horrible, but it just wasn't.
No,
as,
but it was a little, it was anticlimactic compared to,
yeah,
like the previous season. Cause I thought, like I said, I thought season five was strong throughout. Like it just was, yeah, really good. And it, you know, the ending, it, you know, they kind of left it, you know, spoilers on a 20-year-old show, but you know, with Ahsoka leaving the order, you know, almost, it kind of leaves you wanting more.
And right.
Then you go the whole season without it, and then it gets canceled. So,
yeah.
And then what it makes me wonder too, where season six was only 13 episodes. I don't remember the history. Like, I don't know if it was canceled abruptly and there was more in the pipeline,
yes,
or, I don't really know what happened there, but maybe there was going to be more revisiting. And I guess that's what the last, you know, these last 12 episodes are, but I wonder how different they are now to what they would have been, you know.
Yeah.
If they were aired back then, because I'm sure they've tweaked it now to be different.
Oh yeah, no, it's I
and
it's
I know and we know it's,
I'm glad I did
back
it
because she's in the trailer, so
right,
right, and plus we get her back in Rebels,
right, I know. I was gonna start Rebels, I had already started Rebels and I did enjoy that more, but then I talked to you and other people about doing Clone Wars in the right order, and that seemed better. And then,
yeah,
you know, I blasted through it. So
yeah,
I'm glad I did it.
I want to watch Rebels too, but I think I'm actually going to wait until after Clone Wars is done, just to find out what they do with Ahsoka, because I know she shows back up later. And
right.
I just want to have the continuity,
yeah,
all the way through. So, and I'm in no rush to watch another 6 seasons of Rebels right now. So
is Rebels 6 seasons?
It is. Yeah, it's pretty long.
Oh wow, jeez.
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
But there'll be, I guess they're doing another season for that, which is in the works. So I might wait until that gets closer. You know, till we get more info on that, and maybe I'll do the whole binge thing with that show too. The good news with Rebels is you can watch it as released. You don't have to worry about flipping around through it.
Right. So. Yeah.
So. You know what? That kind of brought me up. I did see one more little bit of news, just because it has to do with Star Wars. Looks like they've confirmed that they're going to start shooting the Cassian Andor show this year. I don't think that's a big surprise anyway, because it was supposed to come out, you know, in 2021 anyway. So,
yeah.
But that's good to know that they're moving forward with that. So.
Cool.
Yep.
All righty. Is that everything?
Yep.
All right, let's get to some comic books. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right, so the first book we're going to take a look at is Alienated, issue number 1. There's a 1 in 25 variant for this. Seems to be going for about $35, so it's a little bit over ratio. And, you know, this is a Boom Studios book, so I'm not sure how many stores, you know, are ordering 25, you know, to 30 copies of this to get this variant. But, you know, if you can pick it up out there, seems to be going for a little bit over ratio. Flash, issue number 88. This is the first appearance of a new villain called Paradox. As of today, the prices are just at cover price. But, you know, we saw what happened with Lois Lane last week. And, you know, these first appearances of these villains seem to spike for no apparent reason, so might be one to watch. You never know what's going to happen with that. Star Trek Picard number 2 had a second printing. This is still seeing demand. This one's selling for $7, so almost double cover price. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago that the first prints on these were selling for $20 to $25 for issues 1 and 2. So, if nothing else, pick it up to get a chance to read it, because you probably missed it the first time around. And then speaking of second prints, there's Star Wars The Rise of Kylo Ren. Second print of number 2 came out today. It's also going for about $7. And then number 3 released as well, which is selling for $5 to $7. So this seems to have slowed down a little bit from the first two issues, but I think it's just because the retailers got a chance to catch up on the demand for that one by issue 3. Is a book called Undone by Blood. There's a 1 in 15 variant that seems to have some demand. It's actually going for $25 up to $40. So that's really, you know, almost three times the ratio. So that's really got a lot of heat going. And again, I think it's probably because of scarcity. I don't even know what this book is. I didn't order a single copy of it. So how many stores have the 1 in 15 variant? Probably aren't many. Venom number 23, there's a Scotty Young variant. Again, not sure why this is taken off, but it's selling for $16 to $20 now. And I, same thing, I had a bunch of people calling me looking for this book today. I only had a couple copies of it, you know, because it's a variant. There's like three variant covers for Venom. So I had like three for the stands, or three that I ordered. Two of them went to subscription boxes, and one of them went to the rack. And then I was sold out and people were calling all day. So definitely grab that one if you can. And then, last but not least, X-Men number 6, there's a Philip Tan variant. That one's selling for about $8. So that's it for Speculator Books.
We may hear more about Undone by Blood later on.
Okay, fantastic. We're going to hear more about Alienated too, but
yes, we are. That's another one.
So.
All right, what do we have in back issue bonus?
All right, so the first book is Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. This is issue number 28. It's the first appearance of, let me see if I can figure out how to say this, Omnipotentis. So this had a spike, a little spike when it came out a few years ago, but then it cooled off, and now for some reason it's back up in the limelight. And not really sure why, but this is selling for $40 to $50 right now. It's gone up as high as almost $65 on eBay. So don't know what's driving that, but if you can find that out there, it's definitely worth picking up. Journey into Mystery, number 622. First appearance of Ikkal, which, you know, for the astute viewers or listeners, that's Loki backwards. I guess some people are thinking that he might show up or she might show up. I'm not actually sure.
Was it like Mixoplick?
Yeah. They got Loki to say his name backwards and he disappeared.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, they're thinking that, this character may show up on the Disney Plus show. So, selling for average $15, but it has gone up to $20. So again, take that for what it's worth. And then last but not least, from Boom Studios is a book called The Spire, issue number 1. This was announced as being optioned. So, and you know, I say it all the time, you know the drill, right? It's up.
Yep.
It's up from basically nothing to around $15 right now. So we'll see what happens with that. And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right, what do we have for FOC for next Monday?
All right, so the first book I actually have listed as a variant cover and a new series, Birds of Prey, issue number 1. There's two covers for it, but I listed the J. Scott Campbell variant cover as well because I didn't want to forget it, because I think that's a great cover. It's my favorite cover for the week. So,
really, the Birds of Prey one?
Yeah, I really like it.
Cool.
Close second to that is the Catwoman number 21 Ian McDonald variant. Also really like that one. But I think I like the Birds of Prey a little bit better. Next we have Flash issue 751. This is Jung John Yoon variant cover. And finally Green Lantern season 2 number 2 Nicola Scott. And then also from DC, new series, well, not really new, but the Robin 80th anniversary special is coming out. And this also has, you know, the decades covers like Flash and Wonder Woman have had. So there's 10 10 different covers for this. It's a 100-page special for $9.99. So, again, you know, not every store may go heavy on every cover. So this is one where if you have a favorite, I would definitely recommend getting an order put in for it because stores may not get it. That's it for DC. From Image, we have Decorum, issue number one. There's three covers for that. From Marvel, we have Amazing Spider-Man number 41. There's a Ryan Brown Spider-Woman variant. And then Venom 24 has Rocky Kim Spider-Woman variant. New series is Cable, issue number one, multiple covers. From Zenoscope, we have Shang, issue number one. This is going to be a three-issue miniseries, and there's multiple covers for it. And then last but not least, from Absolute Comics, I Make Boys Cry, issue number one, and there's three covers. And that's it for FOC.
All righty. Let's get into checkout.
All right.
What did we check out this week?
All right. So you want me to start?
Sure.
All right. So the first
book, I read that too.
Did you read it? Okay. First book I checked out was Alienated, issue number one. This is going to be a six-issue miniseries from Boom Studios, written by Simon Spurrier, and it had art by Chris Wildgoose. So I really liked this book. It starts out, you know, kind of like a lot of stories. You know, it's basically, it doesn't start out like a lot of stories. It starts out with this hooded guy that's, looks like he's filming like a, I don't know, like a ransom video or something. You know, he's like trying to film a video to sow like discontent. And then, like the next page, he takes his mask off and he's just a teenage kid. But, you know, it's really kind of revolves around three teenage, you know, high school kids.
Three Sams.
And they're all Sam. And, you know, I'm embarrassed to say that until the page where it said three Sams were walking in the woods, I didn't put it together. Even though.
Well, because they don't announce them that way. They announce all their names,
right? And then I had to go back and look. And I was like, oh, wait, it is Sam, Sam, and Sam.
I did the same thing.
Samuel, Samira, and something else. But anyway, you know, and then it's kind of just like, it goes into basically just like your average high school story. There's three kids that are kind of outcasts. And that's what I thought the title referred to, you know, because they're alienated. You know, they're just not fitting in. And then it's a little bit of a turn, and alienated has another connotation. And that's really all I want to say about that because I feel like it'll spoil too much. But I really like the art. I thought the artwork was great on this, and I really enjoyed the book. Like, I thought the intro pages for the three different kids were really good. You kind of got a little feeling for each one of them, and then they come together in a, you know, a way that kind of binds them all together. And, you know, they're going to have
an understatement.
Yeah. They're going to have this adventure going forward. So, I really am actually liking this. Like, I'm definitely going to go ahead and read the rest of this series. I think it's another hit for Boom. You know, I think this one hasn't had the heat that some of the other ones did, like Once in Future or Something is Killing the Children, but I think it's another win for them because I think this is going to be a pretty good story.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. This was one I didn't grab off the shelf. I honestly didn't even notice it. And when I was checking out, Slade is like, "Oh, did you want Alienated?" And I was like, "What's that?" And he goes, "Boom." And then right when he said Boom Studio, I was like, "Yep, I'll take it."
Yeah.
Because I mean, Boom's been doing really well lately, and you really can't go wrong. So I grabbed it, and I usually put my books in order of like, you know, okay, I really think I'm going to like this one. I'm not going to like that, you know, or I'm not sure. So I stagger them so I have something to look forward to and something to work through. And this one was on the top, and I was surprised at how good it really was. And like you said, I love how they set the story up at the beginning. And then, yeah, there's a few spoilers in there.
There are. That's why I didn't want to really.
There's not much to tell you, but
yeah,
there's a lot of good, it's a great twist on teenage angst.
Yes.
And it really gets you that feel of like being a teenager, and they're the three characters are three different characters that we all know
right.
from high school, and they are linked in a certain way in this book.
Yes.
Is that a good way to put it?
Yes.
So yeah, definitely. I recommend it too. It's a really good book.
Yeah. Well, really I was good. Like you know, I've been singing the praises of Boom really the whole time we've been doing this podcast, because I just like them as a company anyways.
Right.
But yeah. Anytime I see Boom Studios on a book, I pick it up and read it. I give every one of them the benefit of the doubt. And honestly, I haven't been disappointed by too many, because I like Red Mother as well, and Heartbeat, and some of the other ones that we've talked about in the past. Really, they don't have anything bad going right now that I can think of. So,
yeah, no, I enjoyed it. All right. So first one, the next one that I checked out this week was Undone by Blood,
right?
The Shadow of a Wanted Man, and writer Lonnie Nadler and Zach Thompson, and art by Sammy Cavilla. And this is a it's got a Western feel to it.
Yeah,
and I actually liked it a lot. I liked the art. I felt the opening was, it reminded me of, remember when I read Lone Ranger?
Yeah.
Like a year and a half ago, like when we first started, I read Lone, it had that kind of a feel. And then it opens up from there to like 1971. So it almost like jumps to present day, because okay. at the beginning of the book, you're in like the Old West. And I thought that's what the book was going to be as when you look at the cover. But what it is the main character is this girl, and she's reading a story.
Okay.
And it actually, the story she's reading intertwines with her story in how she reacts to stuff. And it's a story where she's out for vengeance. And in this first book, if you read the synopsis online, it'll tell you that she's going to like, she's going after the man that killed her family, blah, blah, blah. But in this first book, you don't get that far, but she's on that quest. And I thought it was well done. It was intriguing. Like, I hadn't read the synopsis when I read the book. So I was pretty intrigued all the way through. And like I said, the difference in art between the Old West and then they jumped to 71, sorry. And it was pretty cool. It was really cool.
Cool.
It was a good read.
That out. What company?
Aftershock.
Aftershock. Okay.
Yep. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I just was wondering, because like I said, I didn't order any of these, and I wasn't sure who actually put it out. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got some really, really colorful art. It's very graphic. Graphic violence. It's a good book. It's okay. A good book. I recommend checking it out.
Cool.
And I'm interested to hear about this one. I didn't read this one.
Okay. So the second book I read, I checked out this week, Tartarus, issue number one. This is from Image Comics, written by Johnny Christmas, with art by Jack
Cole. Good old Johnny Christmas.
Yeah, good old Johnny Christmas. So the synopsis for this book says it's a new adventure series with the sci-fi drama of Breaking Bad set in Mos Eisley. So that sets the stage for you, I guess, right there.
Okay.
So this, like I said, so obviously it's a sci-fi story, takes place. They never really.
I thought Tartarus was Doctor Who.
Oh, did you?
Isn't that yeah. what like?
That's the TARDIS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, TARDIS. Close.
Oh, I know.
But they don't really say when this takes place time-wise, but it's definitely a space. It's set on an alien planet.
Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
Yeah. So this was a big book, too. It was 44 pages, so it was pretty hefty for a number one. Now, it does set you back $5.99, so you do pay a little bit more for it, but there was a lot of story here. To the point where, obviously if you've ever read a comic book, you know that you know, they're stapled in the middle, right? So it got to where I was reading.
For our new listeners, right, that have never read a
comic. What I was going to say is, like, it got to a point where I thought, when I got to basically the center spread, I thought that the book was over. Because the story, oh, wow, the story kind of wrapped up. Well, it kind of wrapped up, but then it took a turn and went in kind of another direction, and then the whole back half of the book was like more story. But I thought it was wrapping up early, and I was getting a little mad because I was like, "Oh, now we're gonna have like 20 pages of just filler
ads."
Yeah, right. It wasn't. It was kind of like one story, and then it goes 17 years later, and you get like the whole back half of the book is a different take on the story. But but I really liked the book. I thought the story was very intriguing. The art really took me out of it in a lot of ways, though, because I don't think the art is very good, unfortunately. But the story is strong, and I really enjoyed it. But the, like I said, the art sometimes, it makes it hard to follow, because you don't always know from the pictures what you're looking at. You know, it's kind of like, I don't remember, what was that one we talked about a couple weeks ago, where the art, just, you couldn't figure out what you were looking at in some cases. So, but the difference with this book is the story was good. The other one, you know.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the other one.
So you liked this book.
Yeah, I did. Like I said, I actually liked the book. It's just, I don't think the art was very good. And like I said, it made it harder to follow in some cases, because, you know, you're looking at the pages and you don't always know exactly what's going on. But it was a really cool story. You know, basically the two timelines get linked together right towards the end of the book, because in some ways you're reading it and you're not sure why you got, you know, the first part of the story, what the point of it was, until you kind of get to the end, and then it sort of gets linked together, and, you know, you kind of get where it's going from there. So, you know, I know it's a little cryptic, but I get accused of giving away too much detail, so I'm trying not to spoil anything. But I will say it's a good, like, I liked it, so I do recommend going to pick it up. I just don't, and now that I'm looking at the synopsis again, and I see where it says artistic phenom, Jack T. Cole, don't agree with that sentiment at all. But I don't want, don't let that detract you from the book, though, because I actually
liked it. This wouldn't be the Bright Side Chat if Johnny didn't dump on somebody.
Dump on something. But, like I said, don't let that take, like, if you just pick it up on the stands and you thumb through it, like, I would probably have gotten turned off and not bought the book because of the art. But this one, the story carries it through, and I think it's definitely worth picking up because it's pretty interesting. So
Johnny Christmas carried the story.
He did carry the story. Yep.
Way to go, Johnny Christmas.
Yeah, I would go ahead and pick this one up. So
that's an odd name.
It is. Well, it almost feels like it's not a real name. You know, it's like,
that's what I mean.
no offense to Johnny Christmas, because it probably is, but sounds like a made up name.
Yes. Alrighty. All right, the next book I checked out this week. I've got three more here that I really enjoyed this week. And the first one I'm going to go with is Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, number one of four. Writer Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti.
Palmiotti.
Art by Amanda Connor. And cover art by Derek Chu. This is a DC Black Label book. And did you see this one?
I've seen it. I didn't get a chance to read it, but I love that they're husband and wife. That's a husband and wife team, Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti. And they've done Harley Quinn. They did the whole New 52 run of Harley Quinn. So I love their take on her and their storytelling. So I really actually can't wait to read it, but I didn't get a chance
this
to read it.
This is what Harley Quinn, and this is what a Black Label book should be.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that. Yeah, because
it was so fun.
Yeah,
it was adult. There's innuendo. Look into the art, because they're drawing stuff in there that's like, that plays along with the story, but it's borderline obscene. It's just such a fun story, and it's actually a good story that at the end of it, you're like, I can't wait for the next one. Like when it first starts, it starts out in a dream sequence and you're like, how the heck is this happening?
Right.
And it's really, really cool. And it's so much fun. But then as the story goes on, you're like, well, you know, when you have those fun stories that you're like, all right, it's fun, but no substance.
Right.
Well, it's slow. As you're having fun, you realize, okay, there's a story here.
Right.
And then by the end, you're like, how is this going to play out? It actually has some decent substance to it. Maybe I'll elaborate more on Monday.
Okay. Yeah.
but this, I really, really enjoyed this book. This was fun. It was adult. It was a really good black label book that's what you would expect out of Harley Quinn.
Right.
Right. And when you have Superman Year One as a black label, Superman's not a black label character.
Right.
There's nothing to, you know, why put that as black label? If that's supposed to be an adult book, what's the point?
Right.
Superman's not an adult character. That's a character for everybody.
Right.
So that's why Superman Year One probably didn't play as well. That could have been any book. It didn't have to be that.
Right.
But this one, definitely is a black label book. I recommend it. It's a fun read.
Cool. Yeah. Like I said, I love that. Like their run on Harley Quinn was one of my favorite runs. I'm definitely one of my favorites that I've read in the last 5 years, but you know, to say all time would be going pretty, you know,
yeah,
maybe a little bit too far, but it was such a blast to read. And they had such a great take and fun with that character that I, like I said, I'm really looking forward to reading this.
I actually should have saved that one for last because the next two aren't
you're not
as
gonna end. You're not going to end on it.
They're good. Okay. They're good. They're just not as fun.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I should have actually saved
that. I know you're all about
the
fun. We established that last week.
So. Yeah. So did you get to see the next one I read was Batman Pennyworth RIP, RIP,
yeah,
number one.
Still, I haven't read it, but.
Okay, so. That one, writer James Tynion IV, Peter J. Tomasi, art by Eddie Barrows, Ebner, Ferreira, and others. Cover art, Lee Weeks. So this is a good book. This, I mean, if you're a Batman fan, you're an Alfred fan.
Yeah.
And this book here, I will say, remember in the Batman, the Detective Comic 1000?
Yeah.
And... you remember the story in there where Batman took the picture of the family?
Yes.
That was my favorite story in there.
Yeah.
This has some of that to it. Everybody gets together to honor Alfred.
Cool.
And there's it. That's not giving anything away, but that is there's some. It's a really good story. There's some good moments in there. They have some flashbacks. Each of them flashback to what Alfred did for them.
Right.
And the ending is, you know, reminiscent of that story as well. But it's a sad story, but it was a really good read.
Cool.
Highly recommend that as any Batman fan at all.
Yeah.
It's kind of a must read. And the last one was Superman Heroes number one.
Okay.
And that one is, do you know that one, what that one's about?
Yeah, kind of. I hadn't read that. I didn't really read anything today except for the two books that I talked about.
It's basically
kind of the aftermath of like Leviathan and his revealing his identity and all that.
That's basically what it is. It's his identity and him going around to everybody. And Booster Gold had a really good one. He's screaming it because, you know, he's from the future. He knows everything anyways.
Right.
And he screams it from when he finally reveals it. Well, Booster's like on the top of a mountain. He just starts screaming like Clark Kent. Like he's so happy because he can finally say it. And he's like, and then Superman flies over and he's like, what? And he goes,
yeah.
He goes, I just wanted to say, you don't know how many times I almost blew it.
Right.
He's like, cause you don't understand in the future, everybody knows your name.
Right. Well, he should have known the day that he told everybody too. Really.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's just been dying for the day to come in the present or whatever. Right. So it was really good. But there were some really good stories. There's some darker stories. I thought Batman has a really good interaction with Wonder Woman about it.
Okay.
I won't say any more than that, but it's the aftermath of his reveal and how everybody, the closest people to him, react to it. And
well, and there's a companion book coming out, Superman Villains, as well.
Yes, which it says that at the end,
which
it
will be
wraps up,
I guess,
with that.
I don't imagine he's flying around to talk to all his villains about it, but I'm guessing it's going to be their reactions to the news. Is
correct.
So, yeah,
yeah,
I'm sure he's not flying
that was
around
a good
having
read.
Tea with them all just to get their take. But
yeah, so that was it. That's all I've checked out so far this week.
Awesome.
We got anything else?
I don't think so.
All right. We can wrap it up from here.
All right.
We're good? All right. What did you guys check out this week? Let us know on Twitter at brightside_chat, or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. John, would you like to say anything in closing?
No.
I love putting you.
No, I don't.
You're kicking back, relaxing.
Yeah, I'm like sitting like, here listening. I'm already thinking about the next show. It's like.
No. What would you like to say about the Nerdy Legion?
We're a proud member.
You've heard me say that a time
or
two.
Yeah.
Yes, we're proud members of the Nerdy Legion. You can go there and check out all the great content. Right, John?
Right. Now I'm engaged. I have to get back into the
conversation. What do we want to do on iTunes, John?
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Look at you.
I listen. I feel like I'm great. 5 now. I've been taken to task.
Yep.
You saw me daydreaming, you know.
Yeah, and then the deer in the headlights. Yeah. I said, "Hey, John, do you want to?" You're like, "Uh-oh, I'm on."
Let me come back in the room. I was already halfway to the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that was fun. I shouldn't have made myself laugh. This hurts.
Yeah.
All right. That was it for this week. We will be back with Birds of Prey. Or whatever it's titled right now.
Yeah, we'll see what it's called on Monday.
On Monday. And we'll have some information about that. So stay tuned. Have a great week, everybody.
All right, take care,
weekend.
Everyone. Yes.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.